Nerds Amalgamated, a podcast that covers the latest events in science, pop culture, and gaming.
I'm the professor, aspiring game developer, sci-fi aficionado, and completely and undeniably a geek trying to take over the world. I'll be breaking down the news from tech to gaming.
I am the DJ, a humble nerd, a big weeb, and a watcher from the halls of the multiverse. Just kidding. Anyways, I'll be breaking down all things comics to movies to anime.
Join us and stay hydrated as we quench you with witty banter, unintentionally hilarious hot takes, and trivia more fun than a night at the pub, courtesy of Nerds Amalgamated. Welcome back. We've got BPM joining us for a very interesting show tonight.
So what have you guys been up to these days?
Oh, the usual for me. Working, drawing, and so forth.
I got my air conditioning working.
Wow, that was really quick.
Well, no one actually did anything to fix it.
So you
just sort of started working again.
It's a necessary thing these days sometimes, the AC.
I feel bad because obviously running the air conditioning is contributing to global warming, but on the other hand, I would literally die.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, BPM, you know what we should do next time? We should just take him, take Professor over here for a road trip, no air conditioning, and we'll test out this theory.
Long Reach?
Paradise, actually.
Hey, if I'm going down, I'm taking you with me. So on this show, we have an interview with the hackers of Valorant and League of Legends, the rise of the toxic anti-fan, and the habit that you probably won't admit to, but could give you Alzheimer's.
Oh, sound very interesting topics. Which one are we starting with?
Up first, we have the hackers.
Okay, dokes.
There's been a lot of talk recently because the anti-cheat from Vanguard, which is by the League of Legends developer Riot, is a kernel-level anti-cheat, which is sort of the most invasive you can get. And it's going to be coming over to League of Legends as well as Vanguard soon. Do you guys have any experience with those games?
With Vanguard on Valorant, every now and then Vanguard does slow my computer down in terms of lag. I have an annoyance with that thing. It lags my computer in terms of internet speeds, and I duck in and duck out of games, and Valorant will go, "Hey, you're ducking and ducking out of games." And I'm really annoyed with it. Really, really annoyed.
Well, that's usually because you're leaving before the round's finished and throwing the match. So that's less to do with the anti-cheat and more to do with you being a bad sport.
But I'm not. But that's the problem. I'm not, though. That's the stupid part. It's like every time I try and every time I'm playing a game, it's just like all of a sudden I'm just getting kicked out for some reason. I'm like, what the heck is going on?
Well, I have not experienced any of that because I do not touch those games at all because I hate them. I don't like competitive gaming. Never have, never will.
So one of the big problems with kernel-level anti-cheat is that because it runs at the same level as the kernel, or what we also call Ring Zero, it has access to literally everything. Kernel mode driver for the anti-cheat does the wrong thing, it can damage the operating system or another driver and cause blue screens.
Oof.
Ooh, that's painful.
Blue screen of death, never a sight you want to see.
The idea is that by running it at such a low level, it can detect when you're trying to tamper with the game itself.
So like the console cheats type thing, where the press the button and the tab drops down, you're typing code, that type of thing they're trying to negate.
No, beyond that. Okay. So those sorts of cheats that you put in through the in-game console tend to only be in single-player games anyway.
But this is for online gaming. That'd be a totally different matter.
Yeah, so it's more cheats like aimbots, wall hacks, things like that.
I remember those from Counter-Strike.
Yeah, apparently it's so advanced these days that the cheating service Unnamed, who were interviewed by Esports Heaven for this article, offer aimbot, wall hacks, radar, and a streamer mode so that your viewers can't see that you're hacking somehow.
Wait, they're offering as in like buy one, get one free, that kind of offering, or is it just a...
It's a subscription.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah, they are selling subscriptions for people to cheat.
Why? But cheating destroys the point of the game. Everyone hates a hacker or a cheater.
But that's the problem with... Yeah, you're right. It does destroy the game. But the problem is, like, when it comes to multiplayer, when it comes to internet gaming, you don't know who is doing it. And it could be, like, some person that's... It could be someone else in your team or someone else from another team.
Hmm.
And you this are... it destroys the experience of the game.
And also, if it's like a team-based game, like, you know, Counter-Strike or Overwatch, Team Fortress, any of those ones that I can remember, that they're team-based. If someone is a hacker on that team, that whole team will get has been banned, can get banned from like esports venues and so forth because of all the cheating, and they make their living out of that. Well, some people do. That's another slippery slope of the internet.
Yeah.
Well, we've talked about it before, but do you remember, DJ?
Yeah.
Years and years ago, we discussed how China had a gaming PC advertised as allowing you to run more cheats.
Oh, I remember that. I remember what the excuse was. Oh, we just have better computer, guys.
Wow.
We have a better computer for running cheats.
and the punchline to this was, the person that said that was an Intel spokesperson. Let that sink in.
Why?
Let that sink in.
Marketing. Why are they? I know it's marketing, but why are they marketing to destroy gaming experience? That seems to be counterproductive, in my opinion.
It does feel a bit like cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Mm. Yeah.
But unnamed say that their largest market is in Asia.
Oh.
So that could be a population density thing, but it does feel like the most cheaters are Asian. And we saw that where they had the actual company spokesman saying that the computer was better for cheating. And I wish it wasn't, because I don't like tarring them all with the same brush. But
yeah.
It sometimes feels like you've got to play on IP-locked servers so that cheaters can't get in.
Oh, they'll find a way in one way or another.
They will.
I know.
There's a way to cheat.
I remember, like, the old game, it's a very old game by Mate, I think it is, Guns Online. It's a Japanese third-person shooter-type game, team game, and there was always hackers on it, so he switched. So even if you go into an IP lock, there's still hackers are on it.
Wait, what's the game called again?
Guns Online, GUNZ.
Oh, okay.
It's an old game, like back in the 2000s. I can't remember exactly, but it was one of my favorite games. I was actually very good at it. You could be Neo. Yeah, that's it. Guns the Duel. You could be nil on it because you wall ride and dodge bullets and all that. It was a fun game. It's a fun game. Then all the hackers got in it and it just screwed it.
At this point, like with this service being released to the general public, with a subscription fee as well, are we seeing what we saw in the sports world in terms of the steroids boom?
I heard about that on the radio today, the enhanced sports or whatever it's called, enhanced Olympics, whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, why would you even support that?
Yeah, the enhanced Olympics, where you can just do as many drugs as you want. They're fun as a joke, but I can't imagine wanting to do that because you're just putting so much extra strain on your body trying to keep up.
And mostly illegal in sports. To juice yourself up.
Yeah, but think about it this way: like it's only a matter of time before steroids, for example, are gonna get naturalized into the sports and be like, oh yeah, he took steroids. We're gonna have to. It's nothing we can do about this. That it's gonna come to that point, and I think that's what And I
can't agree with that. I hope not. Like, this is bad sportsmanship.
Oh yeah, it's bad sportsmanship. But I think people are the sad part is we're gonna see like the atmosphere of it is just general apathetic. It's just like everybody's doing it, so what we can't do much, you know.
I cannot explain what is happening in this world at all. It's just going further and further down to, like, even further into dystopian lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone is doing it yet. It's mostly the Russians.
Oh.
There's a reason you can't go to compete in the Olympics as a Russian.
Uh-huh.
You can compete as an Olympic athlete from Russia, but you can't compete as a Russian.
Really?
Yeah, there was a huge scandal 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, is that the gymnastics? Is that the gymnastics team fiasco I'm thinking about?
I think it was the gymnastics team. It basically turned out every Russian athlete was doping, and it was a huge institutional level doping scandal where they had the coaches in on it, the athletes in on it. They had people at the lab in on it to smuggle in pure urine so that they could test the pure urine and not trip the drug test. And we are actually seeing doping in esports as well. There's some debate about whether drugs like ADHD medicine should be allowed in esports.
Oh.
No. Just give them a V. They'll be fine.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, mental health.
At what point do you cross from, I've just had a ton of caffeine, into doping?
Yeah, exactly. Like, why would you even? Because that's like, even if you do that, you got to have a massive crash like midway through whatever game you're playing. It's like a competitive game. They go for hours.
Well, ADHD medicine is good for all day.
Mm.
Depending on the brand. I think there are some types that you have to take in the, take one in the morning and one at lunch.
Then got to jump into bloody Warhammer 40K and Yu-Gi-Oh! And Magic the Gathering.
Oh boy, that'll be an interesting moment.
My God.
But when it comes to esports, like with the doping, like if I recall, I think they're also adding some more medications as well into the mix, like mood stabilizers or something like that. I distinctly remember.
Yeah, I feel like if there's a way to use a medicine to dope, someone's tried it.
Hmm. And
especially in the in physical sports, it's quite sad to see these teenagers doing, like, damaging their organs by taking sketchy drugs to get a boost.
I'm just reading a Reuters article that came out in May 24, 2023. They're doing WADA and the esports are doing some sort of a drug education report. So it's gonna that'll be interesting.
Just need to hear the wise words from South Park. Don't do drugs, okay?
But
yeah, so we're digressing quite a bit here.
Yeah.
So bringing it back to the cheating.
Yeah.
Way back in the day, cheating would be things like changing the graphics of the game so that walls were see-through and you could see enemies coming up from behind the walls. Then it's been an arms race ever since games came out. So developers would work out a way to stop that. They'd check a checksum for the file and make sure it hasn't been modified. Well, then it turns out the game has to know where the enemy is to show you where they are on the map. So what if you hack into the game and view the data that says where the enemy is and just show them on the map all the time, even data when they're mining. Out of view?
Jump into data mining? Is that what they're doing?
Yeah.
Wow.
So developers then went and worked out, okay, if we have the server only send you the data when they're in view, we use it's a technique called a network bubble in some circumstances.
Mm.
The anti-cheat will... The server will only tell you when the enemy is actually in sight so that you can't data mine the data coming from the server and tell where everyone is, even if you can't see them. So it's been an arms race for the last, 30 years that cheats have been going on.
Probably earlier than that.
Probably.
The games have come out since, 60s or early?
Yeah, we all know what it's like playing Monopoly with your cousins.
Oh. Okay, so that being said, they have identified all of the problems with the cheating and how are they going to rectify this problem?
Well, then they implement anti-cheat, which does things like scan the files for changes or detects what other programs are running on your computer. But people found ways to disable that.
Mm-hmm.
And you get further and further into it, the cheats become more and more sophisticated. Because they have to get around every time someone finds a new cheat, the developers will patch it and find a way to block that. We're actually getting to the point now where, because the software has kernel-level anti-cheat, it is as deep as you can go on a software level. So we're seeing hardware hacks.
Oh my god.
People are actually using little boxes to emulate their mice.
What?
And it will scan your screen and automatically move your mouse cursor.
What?
No. No, are you kidding me? So your mouse can...
I am not.
Oh, man.
And then there's... Sometimes they'll have two computers, one playing the game and one running cheating software.
Oh, my God.
And they basically pass the data from the computer, the gaming computer, through to the other computer, which then does all of the cheats, uses computer vision or something to detect enemies, and then moves the mouse and passes that back to the gaming computer.
Oh my god. Soon enough, they'll be hacking webcams to see what you're doing.
Oh, that's,
well, that's funny, because that's an anti-cheat method. If you record your webcam, there's... I can't remember who does it now, but I think it's a chess tournament. They record you with a webcam to make sure you're not cheating with a chess computer.
Isn't a chess competition face-to-face usually?
Usually it is face-to-face, but I think it's there are some chess games which are done on live streams, if I recall.
Yeah.
Oh, did not know that.
So at the moment, we've got this weird situation where you can buy a chip a little board for a handful of dollars in your local currency and use that to run software to hack a game that has spent millions of dollars trying to defend itself against that same thing.
My God.
Actually, one of my favorite anti-cheat stories comes from Four, a developer who used to work at Blizzard. There was a cheat bot that would play World of Warcraft for you. And what they worked out was that it would always take the same path from point A to point B. So they dropped a rock in the middle. And then normal players would just click and go around the rock. The bots would just walk into the rock repeatedly.
Oh!
So they came back a while later and just banned everyone who was stuck walking into a rock, because who would be dumb enough to do that, really?
Wow. Well, so pretty much as the hacking and cheating gets more and more severe, it seems to be normalized in the competitive gaming nowadays, is what I'm hearing. The anti-cheat will have to get more and more tough on that type of stuff. And may have to go into like bloody anti-cybercrime software in games.
Yeah. Every year or so, it turns out someone's actually cheating in a esports tournament. So they're probably just banned from the tournament for life. But I can see this becoming a cybercrime issue as esports has more money poured into it.
Oh yeah, I mean, gambling is already a huge market with esports.
This might be going off on a bit, but I've heard that there was discussion way back about putting esports into televised sports shows or even the Olympics, and I'm like, no, why?
What's going to be interesting is since we're seeing the advent of AI. Can we see AI to be used in both anti-cheat and cheat?
Already happening.
Already happening, mate.
There's actually, I think it's Corsair, announced a monitor at CES this year, which has an embedded AI processor. And they showed in their demo the AI pinging you to enemies showing up on the screen in League of Legends.
Wow. I think I've seen that. Yeah. I saw that.
Jesus.
Yeah, and that's a kind of cheat that's going to be almost impossible to detect.
Yeah. It's because they if it's self-learning AI, that's what they're sort of aiming for. It's got to get more and more complex in its subtleties.
So I feel like we've shown that you can't beat the cheaters. You just have to live with them to some extent.
Oh, well, if you see a cheater, just leave.
Yeah.
It's by the way, it's an MSI. It's an MSI monitor.
MSI, yeah. Okay. But what really concerns me about the proliferation of kernel-level anti-cheats is that giving something that sort of access to your computer is really bad for privacy and security.
It is.
The more stuff you have running on the kernel level, the more attackable your computer is.
Yep. And yes, your black hats would go for would find that and abuse it and lock you out and you do all the fun stuff that happens when you get hacked.
And you also have to deal with the civil liberties groups like, hey, this is an invasion of privacy and yeah.
Yeah. And well, Riot is a Chinese company.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're owned by a Chinese company.
Yep.
Yeah, like I'm just the way I'm seeing it, the more we go onto, the more we move our life onto the online labyrinth, the more we've got to be, like, your privacy, your security will get weakened.
I'm also reading through the article, Professor. They said something about Vanguard's secret weapon. It's the TPM.
Yeah, but towards the end of the article, they talk about the TPM, the Trusted Platform Module, which is a hardware chip inside your computer.
Yeah.
And the goal is that the hardware chip can be either an external thing or built into your CPU and uses a cryptographic key to sign your software so that you can make sure that it hasn't been tampered with.
That's just now extremely complex to me. I ain't computer savvy.
Oh, cryptography is this whole rabbit hole.
Oh, I don't want to go into it then.
Yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't want to do it. But the other interesting thing is going to be, given how much money is involved in this, like you can see a lot of governments coming into, like, if it becomes an Olympic sport, for example, can you imagine all the governments trying to invest money on esports and doing crazy and like host nations, for example, going, okay, we're going to have to inspect each and every one of your computers to see if there's any cheat stuff on your computers. Do you reckon that's going to happen?
I think it should already be happening in the esports area because people going, because as I said, like cheating is just being normalized now, more or less. So they probably should be doing that now, taking action now to prevent it from happening in the future. But of course, humans are lazy beings.
I think the easiest way to do that is to provide your own hardware and stop people from plugging stuff into it that isn't approved.
Yeah, they just bring themselves.
And then you get the question, what counts as cheating? If I bring in a custom mouse with a macro key, is that cheating? I've got a mouse that I'm waiting for to be delivered. Comes with a bunch of side buttons because I'm the kind of person who uses those. And am I cheating if I use those features in a competitive game?
It depends. I don't know. Like it could. I don't think so because it's just buttons and it's just a complex mouse.
Yeah, but the problem is you can use that. You can assign a button to let's just say if you're playing a fighting game, you can assign one button for a throw, one button for a two-hit combo, another button for a hyper combo finish. That's the problem. Like that's gonna be a mess. It's gonna be a can of worms essentially.
Yeah. So I think the best way for esports leagues to do this is to have a particular setup that you're allowed to have. So that when you go to the tournament, you know you're going to get to use X mouse, which is going to be on the approved list and has a certain set of approved features.
But even then, that's also going to be an interesting mess as well. Like in terms of companies would have conflicts of interest, that kind of thing. Like let's say, for example, if they say, okay, you are assigned to have brand A as the suitable brand for esports. Are they going to go? But then it turns out that Brand A had a backdoor deal with the organizers of the esports to make themselves that kind of deal, you know?
I think it'd be more a concern for the sponsors for the teams because usually the sponsors say, use this stuff with your team in this game and gets our stuff publicity, and then we can pay you because you're doing our sponsorship.
Yeah.
I think that'd be the main concern. But
you reckon this will. with this level, with this investigation, you reckon this will help gaming or hurt gaming in the long run?
I think it raises some serious issues with the future of competitive gaming.
Yeah, it could be. It also could be both beneficial and unbeneficial at the same time, because it's esports. It's a whole thing with different avenues and so forth.
Yeah.
Well, that's a really interesting article. I recommend going and reading it, because it has details about how these hacks work and how the anti-cheat works.
And it will drag you into a deep and murky world of gaming that will rival Game of Thrones.
That was a terrible segue.
An attempt of a segue, though.
Yeah. But that being said, like, with this thing, though, like I said, it's going to get murky. It's going to be very, very murky very quickly.
Yes, I wonder if there will be any toxic anti-fans trying to cheat to ruin a game's reputation. That's how you do a segue, DJ.
I'll take that into mind.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So, George R. R. Martin's not happy with the level of toxicity the fans have. What can you tell us about that, DJ?
George. So, George R. R. Martin, in the last few days, a few days ago, wrote a blog post in his official blog website, aptly titled Dark Days, where he basically...
Dun, dun, dun.
Cue the lightning. So in his blog post, he spoke about his feelings about his belief that 2023 was a nightmare of a year for the world and the nation and for me and mine, both professionally and personally. 2024 was looking to be even worse. He basically talks about the politics of America, and he talks about the ever-growing cloud of despair hanging over his head. Martin informs his readers that he still tries to take solace where he can. And he goes, in Chocolate Thrones, if nowhere else, he details, in books, in films, and television shows. Although he continues on by saying he turns the subject of entertainment, Martin, briefly optimistic, demeanor soured once more, with the author proceeding to lament how, though even there, toxicity is growing. And he further explains it by saying, it used to be fun talking about your favorite books and films and having spirited debates with fans who saw things different. And continues by saying, but somehow in this age of social media, it is no longer enough to say, I didn't like book X or film Y, and here's why. Now social media is ruled by anti-fans, which would rather talk about stuff they hate than the stuff they love and delight in dancing on the graves of anyone whose film has flopped. Ha! Oh!
I mean, we see that with things that haven't even flopped yet. Things that are slightly less popular than they were before.
And the funny thing, the funny part about this is coming from the guy who is famous for a TV series that was good until the final fucking last season.
I stopped watching it season 6, so.
Oh, you are lucky man. And people were
That's not necessarily his fault, though, because the show itself, as I understand the situation, it was the showrunners who ran it into the ground because they were all hyped up about the next project they were going to work on.
They rushed it.
But okay, even if I grant you the fact that this was this wasn't George R. R. Martin's season per se, he should have stepped in and go, hey, what the hell are you guys doing? You guys are ruining what I did all these ages ago.
It could be on, like, he was, like, under a contract with, and that had, like, text of saying, we can change this to this and this to this, and you can't say no.
Oh, that'd be just blackmail, though. I wouldn't say blackmail.
Wouldn't be blackmail. It's more manipulating. Yeah, it's manipulating the author to say, like, we're going to use your books as a template, and we're going to do what we want with it.
At the same time, with Game of Thrones, I think he gave away the plans to the showrunners, so they knew what was going to happen. They just took it in a really wild direction to actually get there.
Yeah.
And that's
books.
What a lot of fans are upset
are
with.
The books are good.
I'm sure the ending will be great if it ever gets released.
That's a big, big if. But what's interesting...
I thought they ended with the season 7. That's where they cut it off, and that's the end of the whole thing.
Yeah, it is the end of the entire thing. But yeah, season 7 was an absolute...
You know, DJ, you missed the joke.
I know.
There were 8 seasons, and no one wants to talk about the last one.
But it's funny just to say, but it's interesting for him to say it's the anti-fans rule. That's like blaming someone else. That's like blaming someone else for someone else's mistake.
I don't think you get what he's talking about.
Okay, enlighten me.
He's talking about how now it's impossible to get away from the people who whinge and moan about everything. It used to be that if you didn't enjoy something, you just quietly went about your business.
Yeah, okay, that's true.
And now there's so many people trying to make money by posting hate videos on YouTube.
I disagree on the whole the hate videos growing on YouTube. I'd say they have an opinion on the direction of the show, and they have the right to do it. Like you may disagree with it. Sure, fine. It's your opinion to disagree on the view, but you don't have to go like, oh yeah, they made thousands of anti videos, so I'm gonna curse and hate them, blah blah blah.
Well, the difference is they never used to make these videos.
No, but back
now
then,
there's people coming out just to complain. You can find, like, I'm most experienced with it from Doctor Who. The last couple of years have been rough. I completely admit that. But there are so many people who, the minute anything happens, immediately jump on Doctor Who is dead. And they don't give it a chance. They just immediately want to hate it because that's what makes them money and gets them views on YouTube.
Mm. Well, you know, back in the day, like you got the, review channels like Angry Joe.
Yeah, there's reviews.
Critical of those that are now more than there's still the reviews are still out there, and they're both that I watch more when I before I even watch a movie or anime. I always go to the reviews and see what it looks, but now it's more don't see this because it's crappy because of this and this. Is that I think what he's trying to get at? And people can't get away from it. They're just saying it's dead because of this and this, so don't watch it. That's your opinion, not my opinion.
But that being said, for example, what was it? Avatar: Last Airbender, for example. Let's use that as a case study, okay?
The live action movie.
The live action series on Netflix.
I haven't watched it.
We haven't watched it yet, but there have been news. There has been news lately of what they've changed a lot of things, and people are going, "What the hell, man? Why are you doing this?"
Well, it could be the similar situation that happened with the Witcher series.
But that being said, like with those, at least you can say, yeah, those things would be dead on arrival because you guys are because they fucked it up. They fucked it up.
Well, they're not. It's not like fucked up. It's more like they've gone in the direction that most of the big fans of the series, books, whatever, disagree with.
Yeah, and the sad part about it is that those people that loved it, that loved the core series, and they loved the books, they loved the games, they were big fans of it, and then watched the series, they get labeled as the anti-fans for some odd reason.
Yeah, because we're misogynistic and sexist.
Yeah,
that's not the anti-fan. The anti-fan is the person who just does nothing but complain about a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even the people that love the series will also get labeled as the anti-fan, unfortunately. That's the sad part.
Yeah, well, it has been hard to criticize Doctor Who in the last couple of years without being lumped in with the people who are hate it because now there's a woman doctor and...
Didn't they change that up back to now it's an African-American homosexual doctor?
Well, he's not African-American because he's British.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, but...
he's a black guy.
Yeah.
So...
Like, I don't care. I don't really care about the... whether it's a woman doctor or a black... Or a black British actor playing as the doctor. What I care about is if they wrote the character right and they kept it to the lore. But unfortunately, we don't get that. They mess up the lore every time.
I can agree with that. Like in the traditional lore of Doctor Who, they only have 13 lives, 13 yeah. regenerations. So technically, Peter Capaldi was supposed to be the last of all the doctors.
Well, actually, no, I'm not going to. That's a rabbit hole.
Okay, did I get it wrong? But,
okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Because the 10th Doctor regenerated but dumped his regeneration into his hand. He had a spare hand because his hand was cut off.
I remember that now.
Yeah. And then there was the War Doctor who doesn't get counted as a number. So the last Doctor was Matt Smith. But they weren't going to let the show end because, you know, at that point it was at the peak of its popularity.
Yeah, so like, oh, we'll just mess with the lore. It's fine.
And so, the other problem as well with George R. R. Martin saying, yeah, sure, okay, you get people that would disagree with it. The problem, the other problem with the anti-fans, as he likes to quote unquote, is people just don't like how the material is being portrayed as. Like, it's. Like nowadays, all your favorite shows, it's either a political lecture or just a corporate video.
I don't know about lecture, more like propaganda, I think.
Yeah, like your
previous conversation we had about the anime putting in their subtitle, the dubs were not following through with what actually was said, type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's interesting you say that because I saw a video on Twitter where it was basically most of your MCU writers, and they basically all just said, I didn't follow the comic books. The executives all told me to not follow the comic books, even though the titles all were based off comic books.
That could be a copyright issue because comic books are pretty tight when it comes to the using of their stuff. Like, I think even with any of the Batman films, they had to jump through a lot of hoops from Warner Brothers.
Yeah, but you got there has to be an element of respecting the source.
This is true. Like, if they disrespect the source, they're going to the show will fail.
Yeah,
not always. What happened with,
You
know, Starship Troopers was a book.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
People love the movie, but the book gets really uncomfortably fascist.
Yeah.
I haven't read the book, but I would like to.
I remember, yeah, there was they said that the Starship Troopers movie was just a parody of fascism or something along those lines.
A satire.
Yeah, yeah.
But the book is, you know, it's sort of uncomfortably there from what I've heard. The movie is an outright satire. So sometimes throwing away the source material and starting again can be a good thing.
Yeah, I think we can all agree.
Done
well,
if it's done well.
We don't need any more fascists around, but it does have to be done well.
Not in your consumer materials.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Professor. It has to be done well, and it also has to be done with the treating the audience with respect. Like,
usually when it comes to from making a book or a comic into a film or a TV series, yeah, their main target market would be the fans of the book, comic, yeah, cartoon, whatever. And if they do that and then they market it like that, then they bring it out as like a complete shit show of what it actually is supposed to be, they lose all their fan base because they fucked up. They lied about what they were doing when they were doing their marketing schemes.
Cowboy Bebop! Oh, sorry. Cowboy Bebop!
I don't even remember that existing.
Oh, that was that Netflix Cowboy Bebop. The less said, the better. Let's put it that way. But with the Avatar, the Netflix Last Airbender, like there have been information that's been coming out, for example, that the whole arc of Sokka in the first arc of the series, that's gone. What else is they're not going to do? They're not going to do the Ba Sing Se War, if I recall.
Why? That's like things that made the characters develop. That what made the cartoon good. The characters developed throughout all the trials and tribulations they went through.
Because according to and this is from the words of the showrunner, I want to capture the true beauty of the town and its culture without the audience having to experience the confusion of the rug being ripped beneath their feet. It's gaslighty.
Oh my God. Just deep sighs and regrets.
At this point, I'm starting to become convinced that Netflix are deliberately hiring people just to be controversial.
That could be a thing. Controversy sells nowadays.
Like, Velma got renewed. And that's probably only been renewed because so many people hate watched it.
I think if I recall, Moist Critical did a video saying, don't hate watch this show.
Just don't watch the show.
And also, here's another interesting thing with the Last Airbender. The showrunners also said that they need to balance the show so that it would appeal to the original fans and along with the people who liked Game of Thrones.
No, they're completely different genres. Like, Avatar was a Nickelodeon cartoon. I mean, seriously?
Like what are we going to see? What are we going to see? Aang decide to do something crazy? Like what? Fire Lord Ozai doesn't get killed by Aang. He gets killed by, I don't know, maybe Sokka or... Like, why?
I don't understand.
But that's the problem. And that's the sad part with George R. R. Martin. What he's not seeing is that it's that people, like, they love the source material a lot more. And if people decide to screw it up,
no, I still don't think he's talking about those sorts of people.
No, I think what he was saying with the Annie fans is people who just hate for the pure just to they just hate to hate and they hope to get likes or subscriptions or reviews or whatever.
Yeah, but then I admit that, like, there are anti fans that they'll just write it off from the get go. But then again, they'll be like, I told you so, guys. I told you so. Like, but here's an interesting. But back to the George R. R. Martin's blog thing. Here's an interesting line that struck me about it from his blog. He says this: I'm famous and I am wealthy and supposedly I have a big platform, whatever that is. But I have grown more and more cynical about this supposed power that people keep telling me that I have. Having anything I have ever written ever changed a single mind, a single vote? I see no evidence of that. The era of rational discourse seems to have ended.
Yeah,
I
mean, because he's not just talking about fandom. He is also talking about politics.
Yeah, but
But we're not a politics show, so...
Yeah, sadly we're not. But the whole... Yeah. I find it...
I just googled the meaning of anti-fan. because I do that. And it's a person who dislikes something, generally a creative work, fictional character or person, but is still interested in it, devoting time to mocking or criticizing it.
I mean, but
quotations.
But that's the problem. But the problem with that with that terminology is, even if I, let's say for example, I'm an anime fan and I don't like the direction where let's say My Hero Academia is going, for example, like I could be classed as an anti-fan.
Only if you keep watching it. That's the point we're trying to make. If you just walk away, nobody gets hurt.
Like you go into Crunchyroll comments on an anime. And you see people, they say, I hate this, and it's like in three or four episodes of that anime, and it's like, why are you still watching it? Just leave. If you don't like it, why are you watching it? That type of thing. It's a darker version of trolling.
Yeah, but I think it's also more of the fact that, like, even if they hate that aspect of, they hate the direction, they just want to see how it pans out in the long run. Like, sure, it could be just like a cute incident in a show, but they want to see how it pans out in the long run, see if it's if this sort of direction affects the show in the long run. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can see your point, but I'm also like thinking, like, it's just people hating because they are hateful people. I think that's what he's trying to put out through the blog.
Yeah,
that people watch the show because they hate it, because they want to criticize it and demonetize it, so to speak. That's why people, sort of YouTube channels, people go to them just to hate watch, to get them demonetized.
And it's also not the fact. It's also, but that being said, though, like, when are the true fans are gonna, when are the other side of the fandom are gonna realize that, hey, your the direction of the show is going, you're not gonna like it, that kind of thing. Like, it feels like it's in denial, but at the same time, it's like one side's it's in denial, but the other side, it's in the side of, okay, I'm just hating the show because I'm apathetic.
Just because someone likes something doesn't mean they're in denial.
I mean, yeah, but then
remember
your
point from like 10 minutes ago. You're allowed to have an opinion.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm allowed to have the opinion, sure. But, you know, like, even if I say you're in denial, that's still my opinion. So, but I do agree with you with the whole idea of the era of rational discourse seems to have ended. I agree, because nowadays you can't have you can't say anything without being cancelled or without being said, like, oh, you're, without being insulted, essentially.
Yeah, it's just how, I think it's just how, the thing is just people getting left behind in the movement of the culture that's going out throughout the world. And
yeah.
And it's change. People don't like change. It is always a problem.
There's a theory. I don't remember the name of it. No, I do. It's got swear words in it.
Oh, fair.
But there's a theory that the reason people on the internet are such jerks is because they have anonymity.
Yeah, well, that's it. Like, and then there's the main problem is the anonymity. I can't even say that word. I'm American.
Anonymity, you mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to go up to your coworker and when they say they like the new Star Wars movie or whatever, you're not going to start swearing at them and insult their mother. But people do that on the internet and think it's okay.
Oh, I would.
We've found an outlier.
Yep. But that being said, though, BPM, even though you're the exception, it doesn't disprove the rule. What Professor's saying is right. Like, it's the internet anonymity.
Yeah, well, that gives it's a safety blanket for people on the around the world internationally. It's the whole behind avatar or whatever, you feel that you can't get caught. And that can get into a whole lot of thing. We go into like other certain things.
That's a rabbit hole.
Another topic we can discuss at another time.
Yep.
Yes. We should move on to the habit that you probably have and won't admit to. And we're probably going to stop when you hear this next bit.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, picking your nose might cause Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Lots of people do it. No one's going to admit to it.
I'll break the thing. I admit to it.
Oh! We found the world's first outlier.
And how many spiders do you eat in your sleep every year?
I'm not sure. Okay.
Profound spiders, George, everyone.
Depends on the way you're living, I think. You have the windows open too much.
So the theory behind this is that it's an easy way to get pathogens into your nose, which then provides them with a direct path to your brain. It reminds me of a concept called the danger triangle, I think. Basically, any kind of infection on a triangle centered on your nose has a chance to get into your brain and cause you to have a very unpleasant time. So their theory is that the viruses, fungi, and bacteria that enter your nose this way pass through the mucous membrane, reach your brain, and cause damage there, which then causes the production of beta amyloids. And beta amyloids are common in patients with Alzheimer's.
Yeah, that's interesting.
The article does mention that the correct method for cleaning your nose is to use a saline rinse, but that also comes with its own risks. If you do that, remember to use boiling water because you do not want to get brain-eating amoeba up your nose.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
Sorry, don't use boiling water. Use boiled water that is cooled down to room temperature. Boiling water up your nose is also bad.
Yeah, just blow your nose. It's fine.
Well, imagine people trying the saline solution, boiling water. Ah, it burns! It burns!
But also, saline solution, I think, can put holes if you overuse it or use it incorrectly. Especially if you use it like that type of solution, like in your eardrums or so forth, it can sort of eat way through it. I think it's saline solution. I'm not entirely sure, but I know someone who had a situation that they overused clean out their earwax, and it put a hole in the eardrum, so to get that patched up, which is an expensive operation.
So does that mean? And this may sound crazy. Does that mean for the rest of our lives we're gonna have to wear a face mask while sleeping?
That's not healthy because you can suffocate.
Yeah, that's the other problem.
Well, if you've got sleep apnea, you already do. But I think the point is to keep your fingers out of your nose.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Or at least make them very clean, you know, like antibacterial rub or something on it before you go into it.
Oh, yeah, get that hand sanitizer right up there.
Ah, oh, wouldn't that just burn your nose as well?
Yes, it would.
Ah, it burns. Oh. Yeah, but what's also interesting is how the viruses, bacteria going through the nasal passages. Like, why not just go through the mouth? Like, that's a bigger entry point than the nose. The nose is just very particular.
Well, your nose isn't, your mouth isn't like connected to your brain.
Nah.
Your nasal cavity goes into your sinuses, which are right up against your brain.
Yeah, and mucus is runoff from the brain, I think.
Mucus is, doesn't say, it's a slippery aqueous secretion covering mucous membranes, mucous glands. It contains both serous and mucal cells.
Are you thinking BPM of cerebral spinal fluid?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
If you have certain injuries, that can drain out of your nose.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of gross things, on to our shout-outs. Oh, you'll find out. Okay. We have the Invasion of the Body People, the 1978 remake of Invasions of the Body Snatchers, not Body People.
Oh, yeah. That's a Stephen King book, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, this remake came out in 1978 and features Donald Sutherland, who stumbles across the breeding pods.
Yummy.
Yep. He wakes up and discovers that he's being consumed by the pods and they are growing a clone of him.
Well, it is sci-fi horror, so to be expected.
It gets worse. When he wakes up, he realizes what's happening and grabs a garden hoe and immediately proceeds to massacre his clone.
That sounds like Stephen King.
No, by the way, I did look at did look into who wrote the book. It wasn't Stephen King, it was Jack Finney.
Ah, my bad. I'm thinking of, because I know Stephen King did a book similar with the same concept of like people getting taken, replaced by clones or alien clones.
Yeah, it's a common trope, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our next shout out is on February the 7th this year, we had the 40th anniversary of the STS-41B mission, where astronauts Bruce McCandless and Robert L. Stewart made the first untethered spacewalk using a manned maneuvering unit. I love that photo of Bruce McCandless just floating out against the black, and it must have been terrifying to let go of your space shuttle and not be 100% sure you were going to make it back.
Unless it was faked.
Oh no, we've got a landing denier.
No, no, I believe that happened. I believe that happened. I'm just saying.
You're just denying space in general.
Yeah.
Bruce McCandless later sued Dido for using a photo of him in space on her album Safe Trip Home. I don't know how that went, but I can't imagine it went well because, as I understand it, space photos from NASA are all public domain.
Hmm.
Even with the people in it or without the people?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because NASA's a government agency, and basically everything produced by a government agency, with certain exceptions like, you know, CIA, FBI, that sort of thing,
yeah,
is public domain or becomes it very quickly.
Yeah.
By the way, before we continue, here's the small messed up part about this, about the shout out though. The space shuttle's name was Challenger.
Ah, yes, Challenger. Tragically lost a few years later.
Yep.
Well, I guess they thought it was a cool name. And they were, what's the word? An homage to the shuttle. The shuttle. Just didn't go as well.
No, this was prior to the incident.
Ah.
On the same day, we had the 50th anniversary of Blazing Saddles, a black comedy western film by Mel Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
It stars Cleveland Little and Gene Wilder. It is nominated for 3 Academy Awards and is ranked number 6 on the American Film Institute's 100 Years, 100 Laughs list.
It was a good film.
Oh, yeah.
Though anti-fans will say it doesn't follow the culture of the Indians proper.
Oh, boy.
They were originally going to call it Tex X as a play on Malcolm X's name, but realized that was too close to a porno name.
It is a porno name, probably now.
Probably. When they screened the movie for the executives, almost none of them laughed, proving that millionaires are not human.
Well, they're just robots that are all about money. Isn't that what they're about?
Oh, they're just penguins in disguise.
Hey, penguins are cute. Do not disrespect the penguins.
We know the penguins are all over us.
Well, they will one day.
So apparently this was the first movie to feature the sound of farting.
Okay.
And Barack Obama once said that he saw the movie at the age of 12. When Mel Brooks asked him how he got in, Obama said, "I think I had a fake ID that I got with my fake birth certificate. The statute of limitations has passed."
Wow.
I love how well Obama takes the whole fake birth certificate thing in stride.
Oh, yep.
Well, he's using it as armor so people can't sort of slide it off him and sort of push him, use it as the way to disrespect him. I myself think he is one of the better presidents.
I remember
the whole drone dropping thing.
I remember the press conference, I think, where he said, "This is my birth video," and it played the opening scene of The Lion King.
What?
You have to respect him.
Yep.
We also had on the same day the 10th anniversary of the Lego Movie, which was the first animated film with Morgan Freeman.
It was awesome. Is that what we're going to go with?
Everything
yes,
is awesome.
Yes, it is awesome.
Everything is awesome. That song's going to be in my head now. Damn it.
You're welcome.
I brought this upon myself.
You did.
And on the 7th of February in 1952, The Thing from Another World premiered in Italy.
And that's a wacky movie.
Yes. The movie is yet another adaptation of Who Goes There and features an alien attacking a United States base in the Arctic.
Mm-hmm.
So this Who Goes There was also adapted into The Thing, and it is tradition for the remaining crew at some Arctic Antarctic bases to watch the movies on the last night, first night, sorry, after the last aircraft has left the base for the winter.
It's like saying, okay, the final plane has left, you're going to die. Here's a movie to play. Here's a movie.
These scientists can be funny.
Yep.
Now, you'd have to be a special person to do winter at the South Pole, even without the fear of alien attack.
You got to watch out. Watch out for the southern Santa Claus.
Wait, Santa Claus is not...
Wrong pole.
That's why I said southern Santa Claus.
Wait, there's a southern Santa Claus now? My mind is my mind has just blown up.
It's only when he joins, only when he comes down from the Arctic to Australia that he becomes a southern Santa Claus.
Anyway, that's all we have for tonight. Where can they find us, DJ?
They can find us on Instagram, Facebook, X, YouTube, Spotify, and thatsnotcanon.com. We have an archive of our old episodes.
So look after yourself, stay hydrated, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.
Stay happy, stay healthy, and stay nerdy. And keep looking at the sky.
Hold on.
Here we go.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.